peace of God versus the peace of the world. And this is one, this is the one word that is very difficult for me in English. World. So please bear with me, because remember, if you think English is it's very difficult for me, I didn't know how to speak well Spanish until I was like 7, so I had a speech impediment, and I don't know why the Lord picked me up to be a preacher and a pastor, but he did. So remember, Paul also had a, people said that he wasn't a good speaker, but this one word really makes me feel bad because I cannot pronounce it in English. Thank you. That's what I need. I need encouragement. And I was in a church where I was pastoring a church for a while years ago. That the kids were the ones who took up the offering. So that was nice, Evelyn, that you did that. It reminded me that yes, the kids also can have a ministry within our church. Yes, they just don't come here and then just walk out and have their Sunday school. No, they can help us too. So let us encourage us. Thank you for pointing that out. Yes. How many times have we been promised peace? Yes. How many times? And the longer you live, I think, the longer you've been promised peace. Remember the word that would end all wars? Remember that one? 21 years later, we got a bigger war, World War II. Another promise of peace was made that brought us the Cold War, which killed during its time 5 times more people than World War II. And I'm a child of the Cold War. It's because the Cold War is the reason why I was in the USA and then I was in Australia, because my country was a frontline country where we were living the Cold War. And right when we thought that the West's mortal enemy was conquered, which I was told every day at school when I was growing up in the USA, USSR, where they were our enemies, they were gonna attack, they were gonna nuke us out of existence, therefore we should hate them. and we would walk under the bunkers and at school and do these drills that the Russians were attacking us. And I remember once the space shuttle came back, and I grew up in California, so it went through California and it shook the windows, and we thought the Russians. And the teacher said, no, it's our own space shuttle. Okay, well, that's good. So that's how we used to live in the U.S. And that's why when you see all this Russian thing with Donald Trump, understand that the people that were young at that age and now they are in power or have something to do in the government are my age, and we still have maybe this thinking against the Russians. The Russians are our enemy, so that's why you find that in the U.S. And after the USSR fell, and I was still in the U.S., and I said, oh, yes, we won the war. What happened? The Gulf War. And after that, it's been going on nonstop. ISIS and the so-called the Arab Spring, which I found out in history that they had another Arab Spring like 60 years ago and they still had war, so it's never ending. So peace seems elusive and unattainable as ever. But let's talk about Jesus' context. The Romans promised their Pax Romana. Some people say that we're living under Pax Americana. Pax Romana is the peace, the Roman peace. And my dad, he's an international relations lecturer, and he used to tell me there's also a Pax Australiana. Australia has given peace to all these little islands around us. And they do our duty work by taking refugees and et cetera, yeah? So that's what Pax means sometimes. People make what you want them to do for you. And the Pax Romana, they brought along taxes, armies, and abuses. Nobody liked the Romans, But they have to put up with them. Why? Because the Romans kept the seas safe. They kept the roads safe. And I think that there's one of these two. I think this thing is picking up the... Is that better? Yes, it was the spies. Talk about spies. So they brought the Romans. They brought peace on the roads. They built roads. Even in today, my friend that I was telling you about, this Spanish guy who just finished his PhD on Roman history. He did his master's of Roman history, and then he did his PhD on Roman history regarding the feelings in Roman. In the Roman Empire, specifically within Christianity, because Christianity was part of the Roman Empire, they still see roads built by the Romans in Spain. They still see aqueducts built by the Romans. So they were very good builders. They were the ones who invented cement. So they brought peace and prosperity if you were willing to put up with their abuses, with their taxes, everything. So when Jesus said that he gives us peace, not as the world does, he is not kidding. And he's taking aim to what the Roman Empire offered every time a new emperor would come to the throne. And I'm going to read this later, what they proclaimed when the new emperor came to the throne. That the emperor will bring peace to the world, but we must not only obey the emperor, but worship him as well. And we're getting to that to the stage in history again that we must follow, obey, and pseudo almost worship the government. Because the government is the one that gives us peace, keeps us safe. There's no more requirement of the subjects to change their lives. Because now the subjects can follow whatever desire they want in a society, even if that desire goes against even nature. This week, I don't know if you saw this news, and if you follow me on Facebook, you must have seen it, of this couple, two men. They wanted a baby. And what they did was, the mother of one of the men offered herself to be the mother of their baby. And what happens is that the son of this woman offered his seed to the sister of the other man, so they got the egg from her, the seed from him, they made it in test tube and then put it inside his mother. But it's a free society, my brothers and sisters. It's a free society. And the news were going wild about this news. How beautiful this is! And I said, this is incest by proxy. And he said, well, they wanted to create a new life. Anyway, does that shock you? The empire, the government says this is good. There's nothing wrong with it. There's these two people who want to be happy. And this lady who wanted to have a grandson, however it took. Sick, yeah? There's another couple, this time is two women. And they're saying, they adopted, I don't know if it's adopted, I'm not sure, but they have a son. They have a son who they want to raise him as a she. As a woman, as a girl, as a she. But we cannot say anything because they're happy. They have peace. They're doing whatever they want. So nature doesn't count anymore. Decency doesn't count anymore. It's just do what you want, however you want. If technology takes you there, it's fine, as long as you're happy. And one last thing that the peace of the world says that is good. This week, somebody was fined in Canada, $55,000, for referring to someone who claims to be a woman for calling him a man. And we said this years ago, that all this was going to happen, and people used to laugh at our faces. No! How can you say that? Christians will never be persecuted for saying the truth. Why? Because if this person dies, all those persons who are saying, even those persons who are having surgery in order to change their makeup, their physical makeup, when they die, they dug up, think 1,000 years from now, they dig up the bones, they examine the bones, and they're going to say, this bone belongs to a man. Because your chromosomes don't change. Yes. Like the Simpsons. When Lisa is supposed to be the smart one, the 8-year-old girl, and Marge says, when I married your dad, I took even his DNA. No, and Lisa says, no, mom, that's impossible. You're still a boobier. People are living in La La Land today. But you are persecuted and you are frowned upon because you are saying the truth. People cannot stand the truth anymore. And the truth is that what you think brings you peace and wholeness, in reality, you're lying to yourself. Because even though the world and everybody else says that, oh, you're so glad you made this new life, what's going to be the limit? We're going to start making babies with no children. I remember there's a movie, Soldier, with Russell Crowe. With, I don't know, this movie wasn't that good, but I like it. I love the movie, but there was this movie that they show that they were making soldiers. They were making soldiers and out of a machine, out of people, just they didn't have mom and dad, so they. Oh, and the Clone Wars. Remember Star Wars? Let's get something that everybody, most people maybe know, but the Clone Wars. All those soldiers, they don't have mom and dad. They were taken out from one individual. Oh, that's science fiction. No, we're getting there. We're slowly, slowly, slowly getting there. And sometimes I think that Satan is just preparing our minds not to be disgusted, but just to be, oh, wow, what we have achieved. This is great. But we, as Christians, we know the Lord wants children to have mom and dad. That's his design. But the world rejects God's design for family, for love, for peace. Shalom of God, shalom. Shalom is a Hebrew word that means peace and wholeness. So it must be interesting that the priestly blessing from the Old Testament goes like this. This is in Numbers 6:24-26. And actually, if you see Star Trek, again, let's go back to popular media. You see Spock going like this, yeah? Have you seen it? Yeah? Well, actually, that's how we believe that the high priest used to bless the people of God with this, like that. So that's why Spock, Nimroy, what's his name? Who can say? Yes, Nimrod. He was Jewish, so he knew about it. And he, when he was interviewed, he said that was my contribution to Star Trek. So let's say I will be the high priest, and he will go, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. So the Lord's intention in his in the priestly blessing is to give people peace. We are supposed to be known as the people of peace, not as a warrior-like people. That's why I like the people in the Middle Ages. What's his name? The Crusaders. They were mighty warriors, but they were a contradiction because they were like priests, but they knew how to kill people. Even the Arabs were afraid of them because when they saw the Crusaders, the Arabs. They were afraid that they wouldn't escape from them. But we have too many things that may try to take that peace away. Even when we have been blessed by God himself, it is a challenge and sometimes a burden to feel we are at peace. But we're told how we have peace even when in trouble. And before I read this, peace is an issue for today. Yesterday I put, and I think you did see it, Michael, that in this stage of life or in these times, there's depression in young people is the greatest issue ever. Even young people don't have peace. So, an iPhone doesn't give you peace. Maybe a Samsung? Samsung S10 give you peace, but not the iPhone? Neither of them give you peace. A Ferrari will not give you peace. Because people have a lot of things. And even now that they were tiger parents. Remember tiger parents? Parents that used to make their children read and excel at school. And now they're called plow parents. Plow parenting. Meaning that, and when it's going like this, yeah, plow parenting. That means that we as parents, we try to make our kids' life with no hassles. Oh, they even go to the teachers. How dare you give my son that grade so low? He deserves even more. Yes. Because I want my son or my daughter to have peace without having to do anything. Without doing their work, without obeying people, without respecting the elders. But I still want my son, my child to have peace. This is the way the world sees peace, not the way God sees peace. What does the world say, which is now bad? What's the back for? The rod? The back is for what? For the rod. And I'm not saying that you should beat your child. Not like I was beaten by my mom. Now that she's not here, I can say those things. My mom, once she got so mad that she picked up a plank of a pallet, you know, a plank. And she didn't notice that it had like three nails. And she started, "Pah, mom!" Here. She did it here. Said, "Oh, I'm sorry." So instead of saying, "I'm sorry, I'm going to stop," she just turned it over and keep, "Pah!" So that's my mom. I turned out all right. I hope, yeah, Erica, I turned out all right. Yeah. So that's how my mom raised me. Great peace, says Psalms 119, verse 165. This is the longest chapter and the longest psalm in the whole Bible. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. Loving the law of God. Most of you know my testimony, why I was booted out of college, because I opposed gay marriage. So the principal came to me and said, "Psh, psh, psh, get out." And that took my family to be also booted out of the man's, and me booted out of my job as a pastor in the country. Because I had a choice. They gave me a choice. They asked me, would you allow this in our church or would you oppose it? I said, sorry, it's not that I can allow something. It's what the Bible says. And I cannot go against it. So it was going against my conscience, so I have to leave. And the Lord is so gracious. I remember when Natalie came from in Amanda, they came crying because they said that they were gonna run us out of town. Because they said that. They were gonna run us out of town because they were saying things. And they didn't. But also the Lord provided, when they kicked me out of my church, the Lord provided 3 more churches for me to preach on Sundays. I was by the time I got home, I was so tired. But 3 churches that wanted to hear the word of God. Amen. And somebody from very far from New South Wales, some people we have here from New South Wales. I was in Barham, New South Wales. Yes, Barham. So you're like 100 k's in the map to the right. somebody 400 k's away. He called me and said, "Lewis, I heard that you were booted out of the man's. Can I give you my house?" And I said, "Where do you live?" "I live just across, just 2 blocks from where you live, but in Victoria." So I moved two blocks across the river to Victoria. But the Lord provided, because I said, "I'm not gonna budge on this." And now, as you know, our Baptist Union of Victoria voted that even though the country has voted to accept this, we have not. And they have given us liberty to have a difference of opinion. But in my case, my college didn't want me to have a difference of opinion. Very anti-Baptist. But they had peace because they said, "Oh, we're doing the right thing." And I didn't have peace, but I trusted the Lord. And I put here, loving the law of the Lord will put us right against some of the world's rules and regulations. All these laws that go against our Christian convictions, some of them may find us being fined, dismissed from work, or even put to jail. But we are called to follow the law of the Lord, to love and keep it. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Who remembers those 3? Yes. Abednego. 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 Yeah. Abednego sounds more like Bendigo. Yes. Those 3 young guys who refused to follow the king's edict of bowing down to a statue in Daniel 3. They are even put in a furnace 7 times hotter than usual. But they seem to have peace because they wanted to keep their God's law. Would you be able to do such a thing? They wanted to, the devil always attacks you where it hurts the most. I remember people telling me, "But Lewis, you're going to miss you're not going to have a place to live and you're not going to have an income. Think of your family." Yeah, I think of my family. As for me and my house, we will serve whom? The Lord. I'm thinking about my family. And I'm thinking about those people in Korea. If you hear those people, and I'm not comparing myself to them, because what I went through doesn't compare a bit, because they suffered 2 deaths. When they went to Korea and the communists took over the north, some missionaries couldn't get out. So the communists got them, and you know what they did? They made the mom and dad dig their own holes, and then put the whole family in there, and then the soldiers put all the dirt under, and they die. Of course, they suffocated. And they were not alone. They had their children. But because they knew that there was a promise from the Lord of eternal life. That's shocking, yeah? That's real shocking. But the Koreans, the communists, they were saying, "Oh, we're bringing peace. We're bringing peace. We're trying to unite the country." No, you're killing people. And you still are. Our final point from the Old Testament. Don't think that the worldwide peace is an idea found only in the New Testament. A lot of people say, "Oh, only the New Testament shows the love of God." No, no, no. It's from the Old Testament. Right from the beginning. It was proclaimed from Genesis 12, but specifically in Zechariah 9:10, which reads, I will take away the chariots of Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. That's the promise. It's not a New Testament idea. Two, peace in the New Testament. Remember what I told you that the birth of an emperor meant peace for the Roman Empire? Hear this. This is the Pring inscription. This is an inscription found in, I remember if it's in Anatolia, which is Turkey, which reads 9 BC before Christ. It says this, the most divine Caesar, we should consider equal to the beginning of all things. Oh, it's starting to sound like somebody, yeah? Somebody you know? For when everything was falling into disorder and tending toward dissolution, he restored it once more and gave the whole world a new aspect. Caesar, the common good fortune of all, the beginning of life and vitality. The beginning of life and vitality. Who does the Bible say who's the beginning of everything? And who does the Bible say that he's the beginning of all things? Who? Are you afraid? Jesus is the one. But look at these people. They're saying the Caesar is. All the cities unanimously adopt the birthday of the divine Caesar as the new beginning of the year. Whereas the providence which has regulated our whole existence, but the book of Hebrews says that Jesus has the whole existence. He keeps the whole of creation. Has brought our life to the climax of perfection in giving us the Emperor Augustus, who being sent to us and our descendants as Savior, has put an end to war. Who's going to put an end to war? Jesus, but who these people are saying Caesar, and has set all things in order, and whereas having become God manifest, who took the form of God? Jesus. And who does these people say who takes the form? Caesar. Caesar has fulfilled all the hopes of early times. The birthday of the God Augustus has been for the whole world the beginning of the gospel. This is the first time we see in Roman literature that we see the word gospel used. So when Jesus says repent and believe the gospel, what Jesus is saying, I am the one. Caesar is the cheap copy of me. That's what he's saying. So from the whole world, the beginning of good news concerning him. The Caesars thought of themselves as divine and bringer of peace. But what do we find in the New Testament about Jesus? Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. That's all. Peace on those on whom his favor is. God knows that we long for peace, but this peace does not come through conquering our enemies or worshiping the emperor. Paul tells us how we have peace. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through an army or military might that we have peace, but through the work of Christ in the cross. Colossians 1:19-20. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things through things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. That's how we have peace with God. Therefore, we must be weary when people offer us peace that it's outside Christ. No wonder the Bible warns us about such false peace proclaimers. Ezekiel 13:10 says, because they led my people astray, saying, peace, where there is no peace. And because when flimsy wall is built, they cover it with whitewash. We have this warning also in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come upon them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. We have been promised peace time and time again, and then we get another war, and maybe a bigger war. And when these garments that proclaim peace, what are they doing in the background? They're making better weapons, bigger guns. The country that sells, that believes itself to be the peace bringer, is the one that sells most guns, is the one that has the biggest budget for defense. Yes. What to do for peace then? This is my final point. Just because the world fails so badly, it doesn't mean that we should give up on it. Just because the world fails so badly in peace means that we should give it up. We are called to be peacemakers. And this is what Pastor Andrew is doing this weekend. He was doing a course on peacemaking. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We are also called to live in peace with everybody. Romans 12:18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. It's not easy. Sometimes it's not even easy to live in peace with your spouse, eh? But if it's up to you, you have to try, because you're called to be a peacemaker. Conclusion, my brothers and sisters. Let me encourage you, brothers and sisters, not to grow weary in doing good. That's in Galatians 6:9. And never give up seeking peace. The peace promised to us, the world does not understand it and cannot give it, as we have seen it time and time again. They always promise and they never give it. It is a peace altogether different. And listen to this in Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And above all, as a congregation, let us this be our prayer. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let us pray.